Blog Talk Radio.
Hi there, and thank you for joining us at the Cruzy Sisters International Internet Radio Show. Joining me today is my sister and co-host, image consultant, and spa owner, Debbie, and our local girlfriend's Bible teacher and sister in Christ, Tammy Salt. I'm Mrs. U.S. 2002 life coach and youth pastor, Tammy Cruzy. May you be inspired, uplifted, and reminded that you are worth more than diamonds. Now with some special music by our creative audio producer, Tammy Moe. Sandra Wilkinson, our floor director, will now connect you live to our studio audience just north of Seattle, Washington, at the group we call Girlfriends.
Impossible.
Cruzy Sisters International Internet Radio Show. I'm here with my co-host, Debbie, my sister, and we are reading the book, The Gift in You by Dr. Caroline Leaf, kind of lightly going kind of through the book, but kind of our own
spin on it.
Our own little spin on it. So let's open in prayer, and then we want to say welcome to everyone tonight. Lord, we pray that you would be with us tonight. Lord, help us to remember that we all have a gift within us that you've given us, and we just pray that you would help us to cultivate that gift and find that gift and find what we're supposed to do in our life, because we know that we would be our best at that. We just pray that you would help us to be a good steward of our time, a good steward of our money, a good steward of our love, that we're able to stay on the track that you have for us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Well, Debbie's chapter's first, but I'm going to go first because I want to give her more time. She shared with me today at lunch what she's going to share tonight, and it's really good stuff. I am talking about toxic dreams and gift blockers, and I never realized exactly what dreams are. When we sleep, the acetylcholine, because yes, I did look up how to say it, is active, and that's our consolidated memory, all our memories, and our serotonin and norepinephrine are all shut down, which means the things that make us go to sleep are shut down. They just get us tired enough to fall asleep. Once we fall asleep, the other chemicals wake up, and they are a consolidation of all of our memories, and that's why dreams are so weird, because there is no order in which they're in. So usually it says this is what makes our dreams strange. Signals fire from the pons area of the brainstem into the cortex to activate memories, and it's a weird mix because it just pulls from different memories. Toxic and happy memories get a lot of the attention. It wakes up with our emotional perceptions and creates a busy dream characterized by feelings. So your memories make your dreams, but your feelings fire them off. So however you feel is activating all of your memory. So if you have something on your heart and you go to bed with that on your heart, sometimes you dream about it, especially if there's happy or sad memories involved. Dreams have purpose. They are to sort out your thinking. Of course, we know in the Bible it talks a lot about dreams, that God will give us dreams and visions, and I very much believe that. I've had lots and lots of my dreams come true. I believe that my life was spared a couple of times by dreams that I had. I also believe that God has shown me what to be aware of for, you know, even other people. Hey, I had this dream about you, and I've seen people fall into that category and go, oh, my word. I even had a few years back, I had met with someone and said, man, I'm so glad, and I don't even know why, I'm so glad that you're still married, because I dreamt that somebody came along and took your husband. And I even mentioned what the person looked like in my dream, but didn't have a face, just hair color and about the build and this kind of stuff. And she looked at me crazy. Well, she knew that her husband was having an affair with that person. And so she told her husband that I knew about it because I made up a dream. And I never made up that dream. So she called me, and they confessed this thing that was happening in their marriage because they thought I already knew about it, and I had had this dream about it. So I've had other dreams that I feel like are somebody struggles in this area, and I didn't realize they did. I had that with you just a couple weeks back, that I had had this dream that so-and-so had done something, and oh, my word, that does make sense. And sharing that with this person, they're like, whoa, wait a minute, maybe I need to watch it in my, you know, my life. So do I believe in dreams? Absolutely. I believe that God gives us dreams and visions. However, it only has to be when they are from God. And thoughts are not always from him. And sometimes this book actually talks about toxic thoughts. And if you continue having these horrible dreams over and over again, there's probably something that we need to deal with, you know, in our dreams. It says toxic dreams don't just come from frightening or negative experience. If you have watched a particular disturbing movie or heard a disturbing story, very often this will come out in dreams. And this is one reason why I do not listen to the news. I do not watch anything scary, and I don't listen to secular music before I go to bed. I just don't, because it does come up in my dreams. That's why we must break the gift blocks of toxic dreams by, one, observing and journaling your dreams to increase awareness. Hey, I keep on having this dream. What's going on with me? And also, this does work with chemicals as far as hormones go, too. So journaling things, if you're particularly, oh, my word, why did that just hurt me so bad when so-and-so looked at me like that? Why did that disturb me? Why did that? Well, journal it down and see how many times that happens in a month or when it happens during a particular time, and you realize, wait a minute, this is not a time I'm going to have lunch with Lisa because she's going to be mad at me on this time because I'm going to be overly touchy because this is a certain time that my hormones are different. And it's not necessarily every 28 days, if you know what I mean, ladies. But it could just be how your hormones work at a particular time in a month. So, you know, God made us more tenderhearted at certain times. He made us more aggressive at other times. And that is, one, a defense mechanism. You know, and two, a way that we can be compassionate to other people. So is there anything wrong with feelings? No, feelings are just feelings. Feelings are not sin. But what we do with those feelings is sin. The Bible says to be angry, but don't sin. But you can be angry, but don't sin. So be careful what we do with those things. Two, prayerfully asking for the help of the Holy Spirit to tell you what your dreams mean. I know my niece is really into dreams, and she's had a dream book and has said, well, you know, this means that, or if you dream on this, it usually means that you're thinking of this. And a lot of the times it is true. There's a lot of data behind it. Unfortunately, the wrong person looks up the wrong data, and you think that you're going crazy, so you have to be really careful that way too. But I remember when I told my friend who's a counselor, I said, man, I said, ever since I've been married to Scott, I dream. I only had one or two dreams before, in that 10 years before, but now I dream like every night. And she says, because you're not scared anymore. Because fear holds back good dreams. And I was like, oh, you're kidding. I mean, I remember I dream every night now. And the more that I dream, the more I realize how great I'm sleeping and how good that I feel. And you know, the importance of sleep is just a whole different issue. Yeah. You know, the Bible talks about if you fulfill your goals and you do what's right, it says the bed will not be too short for you. That you'll feel like you can lay there. And if you've ever, I like to work out at night. And after I work out, I sleep so good. And I'm just like, oh, I feel so good because I feel like I accomplished something. And I can see how the Bible talks about that. Accomplish something and, you know, you'll feel like the bed fits you overnight. But just being able to be aware of our dreams because those are toxic things that can go against what our dreams and goals are in life, which is actually what Debbie's going to talk about is staying on track of our dreams too. So go ahead, Deb.
Okay. So this is lesson 20, and it is toxic love as a gift blocker. So early patterns of relating and attaching to others can get wired into our brains in childhood and repeated into adulthood. Our relationships are a product of our personal history and experience and not biological instincts. As God looks on our heart and our inward appearance, we should remember that we're created in His image despite the world's emphasis on biology and outward appearance. A few months ago, I was reading scripture, and I don't even know where I was in scripture, but I remember reading that a gentle and quiet spirit in a woman is of great value to God. And as I read that, I felt like the Holy Spirit just touched my shoulder and said, "That's you." And I thought, "Oh, I didn't hear that. That's my imagination." Well, I went to church, and I had a lady in church that came up to me afterwards, and she said, as you sang, the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, go tell her God loves her gentle and quiet spirit. And so I told my husband, and he says, well, I don't remember reading that again. He says, let's look that up and see what the whole context is. So I missed a lot. I missed a lot of what I think God was trying to say. So that was 1 Peter 3:3-4, and it says, your beauty should not come from outward adornment, such as elaborate hairstyles and the wearing of gold or jewelry or fine clothes. Rather, it should be that of your inner self, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is of great worth in God's sight. So I think what God was trying to tell me was not only he loves my gentle and quiet spirit, but also that I need to pay more attention to what is important to God, and it's our inner self that's what's important to God.
With that too, Debbie, the gentle and quiet spirit is not something you're born with. It is definitely something that you have to decide to have. Because there's a lot of time, especially us as women, where we could say something, and holding it back is that discipline that God wants us to have, because he says, be perfect like I am perfect, and the word perfect means mature. And there's a maturity that comes with being quiet when it's time to be quiet. You know, I know as a temperament and behavioral therapist, what we do is we say, hey, you know, this is not, I know I'm working with a kindergartner right now, and I have to say over and over again, what kindergartners do is this. So they get to be age appropriate. And sometimes I want to look at somebody and say, what somebody 57 years old does it this way. You know, I mean, because it's reaching that level of maturity that is appropriate for your age. Mm-hmm. And it's not, I act like an old lady. It's not like that at all. It's a maturity that's appropriate for your age. Knowing when to have the gentle and quiet spirit. Because there's sometimes we need to be leaders. But in my household, I'm not the leader. And I'm totally fine with that.
Well, the whole context of this chapter talks about submission. This isn't like
oh,
what you
good. Yeah,
saying.
I've not read that chapter.
Yeah, right. It does. It talks about submission, the first Peter 3. So some biologists say that we're attracted to certain people because they exhibit biological traits, such as an hourglass figure, which represents fertility, and muscles, which represents a man's ability to protect us. When we look at the outward appearance only, it is a distortion of how our brains are designed to form relationships, and the consequence is that people's abilities to form lasting relationships are affected. We're not designed for toxic love. Distorted love is a learned fear and completely blocks our gifts. Healthy love, on the other hand, rewires the brain, increasing our health, our intelligence, and our happiness. So faith, as faith and love are on one side, we can't think of both at the same time. Either our brain is thinking faith and love, or it's thinking the opposite, which is lust and fear. You know, you wouldn't think of lust as being opposite of love. I think of love as being opposite. It might be indifference. It might be hate. But in this case, when we're coupling it with faith and love, the opposite would be lust and fear. So Scripture says that everyone has been given a measure of faith, and we're wired towards love. We're not wired towards fear and lust. Those are things that we have learned. They're gift blockers. Your brain functions in one or the other, faith and love or fear and lust. So choice is greater than any learned pattern that we can have, negative or selfish love. And we choose to change to healthy love. Dopamine and oxytocin increase and start melting down the old connections to prepare the way for new ones. Science is showing that there is a massive unlearning of negative toxic thoughts as we operate in love. The brain releases a chemical called oxytocin, which literally melts away the negative toxic thoughts, so that rewiring of new non-toxic circuits can happen. This chemical also flows when we trust and bond and reach out to each other. So science is showing that love wipes out fear. So in 1 John 4:8, there is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. And some translations say torment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. So why does the enemy use fear and lust so drastically? I was looking at someone, and I knew that this guy was going down the wrong path, and my heart just kind of broke for him. And I thought to myself, that's not his destiny. That's not what God wants for him. Mm-hmm. And I thought, that's what it is. That's why the devil, he knows that he doesn't have much time left, and he knows his time is short. So why is he pushing lust and immorality and fear so much? It's because when we get involved in these kinds of things,
We believe a lie about ourselves. It takes us off of our destiny. In Psalms 139:16, it says, "You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book.
In your book.
Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed." God has your life planned. There's a destiny, and there's a plan that he has for you. And this doesn't mean predestination. There's a plan for you, but you have a choice of following it or not. And so the devil's plan is to get you off that path. And if he uses sexuality, immorality, lust, I mean, all of those things cause us to go off of our path, whether it's believing a lie about our sexuality, which could include, well, I've already slept around, so I might as well keep going. Or, you know, having a baby before it's time, or a venereal disease, all these different things that can happen when, you know, God puts, or not God, I mean, the devil puts this lust in our heart, will take us off the path. And on the other hand, the Holy Spirit, one of its jobs is to put us back on the path, to gently, you know, whisper in our ear who we are and to get us back on the path so that we can go to the destiny that God has for us, the destiny that he planned before we were born, during the foundation of the earth. God planned our destiny. God has given us the gifts as tools to reach this destiny that he has for us. And the more we are our genuine selves, and the more we use the gifts that God has given us, the easier it is for us to flow into God's plan. So we can choose, because toxic love, fear, and lust are not natural to us. This is something we have to learn. It blocks our gifts, but faith and love rewires our brain when we do good and reach out in love. God blesses us by helping our brain detox and increase our motivation and wisdom, therefore helping us negotiate life more successfully. So choose life, faith, and love. Study God's word, pray, and ask the Holy Spirit to help you and guide you. And lastly, in Romans 12:2, it says, "Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect."
Good. I think more than looking at what our track, I think once we know what our track is to be on, it's easier not to go off track, because, mm-hmm. you know, we're not just wandering and not realizing, you know, what am I supposed to be doing?
Mm-hmm.
But once you cultivate, you know, one of those seven areas, pillars in your brain, and you say, hey, I'm good at this,
mm-hmm.
then try to figure out, you know, what is my ministry in that? How
right.
can I help? I know yours is, you know, one of your ministries is massage therapy,
mm-hmm.
and how can I go really, you know, witness to somebody and serve them as a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
You've been doing that to our aunt, you know, in rehabilitation. But being able to go in there, I went to visit her today, and she says, oh, it was so nice for Debbie to come in and do that. I just feel so much better once she does that, you know. And taking into consideration that you don't have to be on stage
mm-hmm.
to be doing your ministry.
Right.
You know, it's hardly ever when somebody is saying on their deathbed, boy, I was sure that preacher when I was the 897th person listening to him on radio or you know, in a church or whatever. It's when
mm-hmm.
the church reaches out and is
mm-hmm.
Jesus by flesh
right.
that, you know, so many times they're like, man, you know, it was Miss Pat when I was a Sunday school teacher that, you know, really showed me the love of the Lord, or, you know, it was Karen brought me a meal when I was so sick. I mean, those things are so much more ministry than we know that they are.
Right.
You know, just being able to reach out or praying for somebody
mm-hmm.
or just being there. I mean, Jesus was in front of multitudes, but when he really did his big miracles, it was one-on-one.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I know that's something that you do too, but you're operating in your gifts, and your gifts are not just singing. You know, your gifts are working with kids with disability.
Yeah.
That's one, and their parents, and encouraging their parents.
Yeah.
And saying, hey, I understand, I've been there, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, being able to find what that gift is. Recently I've changed my major from communication disorders to psychology. So being able to go, you know, going into more being an analyst of what they need for their behavior,
mm-hmm.
so they can succeed and not have behavior be an issue.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not have, if you can go in and be a financial planner and not have somebody have money be their issue, how much more could they flourish in what they're doing if they just get these other areas of their life right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's not always such a grudge that I have to work so many hours a week to make my living, or I rage all the time. I'm so mad. I remember you rode with somebody to a camp one time, and they said, well, I have to drive a car separate just in case I get mad at somebody and need to leave.
Yeah, well, who are you going to get mad at?
I don't know, but just in case.
You're
already, you know, deciding that you're going to not be successful in your communicative skills, you know. So, and of course, a good way to try and figure out what your gifts are is, you know, what's in your heart.
Right.
You know, that's the first place you need to look.
What
do you like to do? What do people say you're
good
at? Because God put that in there.
Yeah.
It's part of your, God put that in there for you to have a clue of what your destiny and your plan, you know, his plan for your life is.
Right.
That's good.
Well, we have run out of studio time this week, but we want to say thank you for joining us. We never close out a service or a program without giving people the opportunity accepting Christ as their personal Savior. It's as easy as ABC. A, acknowledge you're a sinner. B, believe Christ died for you. And C, confess him openly. That's all Christ asked us to do. You can repeat a simple prayer like this. Dear Jesus, I believe that you died for my sins. Please forgive me of them now. Please come into my heart and my life. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer today, we would be honored to know. Please call us at Cruzy Brothers main office, 1-800-800-6121. That's 1-800-800-6121. And we would be honored to talk to you. We want to thank you for joining us today. Our sponsors are the Cruzy Brothers World Outreach, celebrating over 40 years on consecutive television and radio. Our executive director, Reverend Stanley Rowe. And we want to thank our floor directors, Sandra Wilkinson. Until next time, may God richly bless you.